Good morning, everyone. We begin with roulette. Ever played roulette?
No.
No? Well, if you ever play roulette, if you ever go to Vegas and play roulette and talk to an expert,
right.
It's all about making complicated bets. So if you make a red or a black bet, that's more like a 50-50 bet. If you make a lot of those red-black bets,
right.
You want to maybe hedge it with a counter bet on something that's higher risk. Or if you're making a lot of high-risk bets, say on a single number,
yes.
Which is a low percentage shot, right?
Right.
Right. You want to make a lot of side bets to sort of hedge your high risk with a bunch of lower risk red black bets.
And then all of those bets can still lose.
All of them can lose, but if it's a mix, then you sort of incrementally come out ahead. That's possibly a metaphor for understanding what derivatives are all about. Daniel Singer, are you on the line?
I am.
President of Robeson Oil in Elmsford, Westchester County, New York, just up the Springbrook Parkway from us this morning. Good morning, Daniel.
Good morning.
So when you make a bet on the price of oil for your home heating customers, right?
Right.
You make a side bet in the derivatives market. Is that true?
In effect, yes. As customers, homeowners are looking to get protection against the roller coaster ride that commodities can take. The way that we help them hedge that bet is by entering into a derivative contract.
Now, what is this derivative contract? Is it X04305B, or is it a special contract that just says, if Daniel Singer is wrong about the oil, we'll give you some money?
It's essentially the latter. it's something that's tied to the mercantile exchange, so it's almost like a synthetic futures contract, but with some margin in there for the people that are creating and initially writing the swap.
So if you're smart about oil, you get paid because your prediction came true, right?
Right.
And if you're stupid about oil, you still get paid because you got the derivative.
Stupid is you either get it right or you get it wrong.
There you go. It's a term of art, Daniel, with all due respect. we're all pals here. Joining us now is Louise Story, Wall Street and Finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times, had a big story over the weekend about derivatives. Louise, first of all, it's great that you've taken this very ambitious mission to try to, A, explain derivatives and to help us to understand what a gray area they are. What was the overall mission of this piece that you're trying to give us all some insights into?
Well, good morning. I had heard from so many different people in all areas of business, from small companies as well as people who work for pension funds, people who work in city government, about all these different derivatives they use. And when I started looking into it, what was really striking to me is how dominated this market is by a very small group of banks. And so what I looked into was trying to understand, how do the banks have control and why do they have control and what do they do with that control? And one of the biggest things that came out to me is that they've kept the market pretty opaque, pretty dark. And therefore, none of us really know if we're overpaying for derivatives. If, your local government or your heating oil company is overpaying for derivatives, and if they are, it's costing all of us.
Quick thing. What's the scale of the derivatives market in trillions or billions?
So there's like around 600 trillion.
Wow.
Outstanding. Wow. This is huge. And they are everywhere. And, people don't realize that they're affected by derivatives because you, John, you don't walk out to the store and buy a derivative. But things you're buying have that cost embedded. For instance, when you buy a plane ticket, part of what you're paying Delta for is Delta bought derivatives to hedge some of their fuel costs.
Fuel prices. Mm-hmm. Exactly what Daniel Singer does. So, Daniel, if you admit, and I'm not saying admit in some sort of critical sense, if you sort of concede that your derivative purchase is a bet, right?
Correct.
Is your frustration over what the price is that you're paying understandable, in the sense that it's a bet? The price is basically what the odds makers will give you, right?
Well, right, but it's not a question of whether or not I got the bet right or wrong. I think everybody's, big boys and girls and myself and the homeowners can understand that if the markets move against them, then that happens. You lost the bet. It's a question of how much margin, what's the cut for the house, so to speak, when you take that bet. You earlier used the analogy of the roulette table, and you would assume that at some point you can even out the odds by hedging your red and black bet with certain more exotic bets, et cetera. But at the end of the day, we all know that the casino wins, And it's similar to that with the derivatives.
All right, let's go back to Louise on that.
When there's a margin taken at each individual bet, it's impossible to really come out the winner.
What Daniel's saying here, and he makes the point really well, that in Vegas, the odds for the house are constant. In this market, they vary by individual security. Is that what you're saying? Well, hold on, Dan. I want to get Louise's response here.
It varies by security, but I think the point, and I think the point that Louise made in the story that she had written in yesterday's paper, is that the house, so to speak, is always taking their cut regardless of what happens in the bet.
How do they determine their cut, Louise's story?
Well, that's what's so mysterious, and because it's not disclosed. So they don't say to customers of derivatives, we're charging you a 20% fee or a 10% fee. What they do is they say, here's the price if you want to buy it. But they bought it from someone else, and they're not telling you what they bought it for. And the spread in the middle is what they took. It's kind of like if you were buying a house, and the realtor says, here's what it cost. But you don't really know what the realtor is giving to the seller. You don't know what the realtor's fee is. And you can't find out any of the housing prices on your block. And so that's why we don't know how much or if we're overpaying. You know, but even Gary Gensler, you know, the head of the CFTC in Washington, which regulates derivatives, I spoke with him and he said Americans are vastly overpaying by some amount on derivatives because of this lack of transparency into pricing.
And Congress backed away from regulations that would open this opaque market. Correct.
Well, there are a lot of regulations in the financial reform bill from last summer that are being rolled out right now and rules that could improve this. But it all depends on how firm these rules are and whether they get put in place in a way that it really makes change, because they could be put in place in a way that banks can kind of get around a lot of them.
And there are investigations underway, federal investigations underway of people who may be stretching the rules, right?
That's right. I talked to the Department of Justice and they said that they are actively looking at all of these issues and derivatives to see if there is anti-competitive behavior.
It's Louise Story, Wall Street and Finance reporter for our partner, The New York Times. Daniel Singer, I'm going to go out with you, president of Robeson Oil. Your customers are paying for your derivatives bets, right?
Yeah, that's exactly it. Other different than some other type of problems or other type of difficult activity that you would see on Wall Street where people fear, the house of cards will ultimately collapse. Unless something's done, this one really won't collapse because the money that...
Well, it won't collapse, but the customers will pay, that's for sure. Daniel Singer, who makes derivatives bets as part of his Robeson Oil Company.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.